And it's Monday on The Takeaway, and that means we're talking about family. Now, last week, a government report caught our attention. It showed that from 1997 to 2007, the number of women arrested for drinking and driving rose by around about 30%. And that report was released right in the middle of a very lively round of discussions in the blogosphere about mums who drink. So joining us for more on the changing perceptions about mums and alcohol is The Takeaway's own family contributor, Lisa Belkin. And Lisa writes for the New York Times parenting blogger Motherload at newyorktimes.com. And also joining us today is another parenting blogger, Tara Trower. She is features editor of the Austin American Statesman, and she writes the Statesman's Mama Drama blog. And she joins us from member station KUT in Austin, Texas. Good morning, both.
Good morning.
Hello there. Now, you've both written recently about these issues. We know that more women are drinking and driving and being found doing that. Now, how does that play into parenthood, Lisa? Are we looking at more mums drinking and driving?
I don't know from those statistics whether or not more mothers are drinking and driving. We know more women are being arrested for drinking and driving. We also know that in the past few weeks, we are talking an awful lot more about mothers drinking and driving because of what happened here right near where I am now, near the Taconic Parkway in New York, where a mother drove the wrong way and 8 people died. And it has become a flashpoint. It's become sort of an iconic moment for discussion of what kind of mother does this. And it's interesting how much more heated we've gotten because a mother did this.
Let's remind people of the details of that Taconic Parkway story. I drive that road all the time, and believe me, my whole family lit up. We have a minivan. We have 4 kids. Believe me, they were on the phone when they heard that story. But a woman who was driving the wrong way on the Taconic Parkway for quite a while eventually had a head-on collision with the 3 people in an SUV. They died. The people in her car died. So 5 plus 3 equals 8. She killed one of her children and 3 nieces. And it subsequently was discovered that she was hugely drunk, had double the blood alcohol level that was the legal limit.
No, and it's a horrifying, it's a haunting story. And I wrote about it on the blog, and just the floodgates opened. And personally, I don't think I have been in a conversation with friends since it happened where this hasn't come up. It's just something that has struck a nerve. And there is something about the image of a mother strapping these kids into a car seat and rolling down the highway drinking vodka. Now, some of the details still aren't clear, and some of them make no sense whatsoever. But it's something that just gets us right in the gut.
Tara Trower, features editor at the Austin American Statesman. You also write your own Mama Drama blog. What kind of reaction did you get from your readers to this particular story?
We got a lot of reaction. I think, although we're not as close geographically to the Schiller situation, it's something that people are talking about. You know, people have this idea of what mothers are supposed to do and how we make decisions and that sort of thing, and whether or not you should be drinking in front of them, whether or not you should be, obviously, most people believe that drinking and driving is incorrect. But it has a lot of people talking about what is appropriate and what you should be doing as a mom.
Tara and Lisa, I want you to listen to this little clip. It's Dr. Jennifer Ashton. She's the medical correspondent for CBS. And there's been some speculation as to why mums are drinking and driving. And this is Dr. Ashton's idea.
It's the social phenomenon brought about largely by shows and movies like Sex and the City, whereby women are drinking more and more. It's glamorized. The drink, the Cosmopolitan, has had a huge comeback, and we're starting to see the medical and health consequences of it.
Tara, do you buy that?
No. I think that when you look at the changing demographics of when women are becoming mothers, you've got sort of this life before and you've got this life after. I don't think that Sex and the City or these other TV shows have a whole lot to do with it. But just because you give birth doesn't change the fact that you might find a glass of wine pleasurable, or going out with your friend, having a beer once in a while also. So I think that might be a stretch to blame it on the media.
But Tara, isn't there, I mean, what we're trying to get at here is there something in play? Is there something changing here? I mean, we have this idea that mothers would never risk kids in a situation like this horrible accident in New York, that maybe guys are more likely to stretch things. Dads are more likely to, well, I can, you know, just go a little faster. I can maybe pass in the passing lane, maybe. And that moms don't do this kind of thing. What's going on here, do you think?
I think it's a double standard. I mean, when you get to the case where, as I understand the case in New York, you know, 10 shots of vodka pretty much before noon, something else has checked out here. Whether or not it be illness or whatever, those things, if you've ever dealt with anyone who's an addict, sort of preempt any rational decisions you might make about parenthood and putting your kids in the car.
Lisa, tell us a little bit about Stephanie Wilder Taylor. She is a very popular blogger who used to write about drinking and being a mom, and then something happened to her. But fill our listeners in on her story.
Well, that is what's different, I think, out there. I don't think it's Sex and the City, frankly. I think it's the blogosphere and mothers sort of sharing as if they were sitting around having a drink together. And a remarkable number, a striking amount of the conversation on blogs is, you know, drunk mommy talk. Stephanie Wilder Taylor wrote several books where martinis and cosmopolitans and lampshades on the head were part of her thing. And she talked about, you know, Mommy Needs a Martini, I believe is the name of her blog. And she one day realized that she was making a living off the fact that she was drinking too much and was rather horrified, actually, and wrote about one day, just posted on her blog, that she was going to stop, that there was simply too much, that she had a problem. And it caught a lot of attention because she's not the only one. She's one of the more visible ones, but she's not the only one who, when her friends come over, instead of having coffee, they have a martini. They have a glass of wine. They finish a bottle of wine. And I think that's where women are drinking differently.
Making a living off of drinking too much. That's like Dean Martin. He did that for his entire career.
He didn't. It didn't end well for him either, although he made more money at it than Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Tara, you wrote about Stephanie Wilder Taylor as well. Was the tone of the reaction you were getting on your blogs, was it humorous or was it serious?
It was serious. Many readers supported her decision, feeling like, you know, that she had come to the right one, recognizing that not just during the play dates, but in the evenings, she was drinking 2-3 drinks at night just to sort of get her head around motherhood. And so it was a serious conversation. You know, there were some people, you know, your mother, you shouldn't be doing that. You're an awful person. But I think that the fact that she made the responsible decision once she realized that this was getting in the way of her being a good mother.
Tara, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. Tara Trower, features editor at the Austin American Statesman and the writer for the Statesman Mama Drama blog. Lisa Belkin from our partner, the New York Times, also writes the Motherlove blog for NewYorkTimes.com. John.
Well, the takeaway there is it's a combination of empowerment and a sort of a release from the tensions of motherhood, the very, very unsavory consequences, however. So free health care for a year, a lifetime bus pass. What would get you to buy a car now that the Cash for Clunkers program has ended? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm Femi Okay.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.